It's one thing to sing it, but do we really believe it, that the love of Jesus has no bounds? I pray that we all grow in our understanding of Jesus' love. It's so great and so awesome for each one of us. Well, we come to a time in our worship experience together where we read and study God's Word. And we talked in our leadership retreat yesterday about the importance of reading the Word of God and to do that in a context of the worship service. And it was suggested we need to stand in honor of God's Word. And I want to invite us to do that now. Please stand with me as you open your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Philippians, and we're this morning in verses, or chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles as I read these words. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Let's pray. Father, we want to learn how to rejoice at the spreading of the good news. We want to learn more about Jesus in this passage. We want to grow in our love for You. So would You bless this time as we spend in Your Word? Would You teach us by Your Holy Spirit? Would You dig deep into our hearts and lives and very souls that we will see what You want for us and what You have for us. Your love knows no bounds. We want to jump into that love today and grab hold of Your loving arms. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Wednesday afternoon, I went to my friendly doctor and got my annual flu shot. I don't know if you've got yours yet, but went to my nurse, Nurse Hillary, and she gave me an injection. The injection was to help prevent the flu virus. It's important if you're around a lot of people all the time and if you're in visiting people in nursing homes or hospitals or things like that, that you have the protection that you need from the spread of a virus. In some cases, a virus that can be deadly. So I got my injection. This whole thing of viruses is interesting when you think about it. How viruses spread from one person to another, even from animals to people. And as you learn about some of these things, sometimes it can be very fearful to think about things. And these viruses are given strange names like swine flu or bird flu or different things like that. But it's the whole concept of spreading, but not just spreading one-on-one. It's a concept of a virus going from one person to three or four to 10 or 20 to 100 to 1,000 to whole populations of people. We call that today in computer language viral spreading. And I want us to think this morning not about a virus that comes from some animal or person that can infect you, but I want to talk about what God has shared in His Word that is called good news, and how good news can become viral. It can spread from one person to two or three and begin to grow and really overcome a whole population of people if God is allowed to do His work. We studied this morning in the passage of Scripture the virus of the gospel that the Apostle Paul was talking about from his experience. And we learn that good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, can spread like a virus no matter what. I've talked to you before as we've looked at Philippians about the no matter what of this letter. No matter what your circumstances, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your feelings, no matter who or what you are facing in life, God can do His work when we allow it to happen. And that's what we're looking at this morning. We want to learn from this passage, Philippians 1, 12 through 18, how this gospel spreads. And we want to be confident together as we read this that certain things will happen. In fact, I believe that there are three things particularly that will happen with the gospel of Jesus Christ when we allow it to spread. Now look with me at verses 12 through 14 this morning. This is the first thing that will happen. I put it this way. The good news, that is the gospel, when shared, will spread no matter what the circumstances. It's going to spread no matter what the circumstances when it's shared. The underlying theme of this from the life of the Apostle Paul at this time is don't let your circumstances get you down. Turn them into a reason for the spreading of the gospel. In fact, a reason for rejoicing. The Apostle Paul was chained to Roman soldiers, as we've talked about. He was virtually imprisoned, under house arrest, if you will. He had to rent a facility so he could stay there chained to Roman soldiers 24/7. Wasn't the best of circumstances. Although in that came a lot of opportunities. By the way, opportunities to share the good news comes when you face difficult circumstances. You know, as a Christian, if you're a believer in Christ this morning, people are watching you all the time. People who don't know Jesus yet. And they're watching you. They want to catch you off guard. They want to check out and see if this thing called a relationship with Jesus Christ is for real. Is it authentic? Do you really believe that? So much so that you live according to what Jesus said. And you're being watched. And guess what? When you go through a difficult circumstance, whether it's an illness or some kind of injury or difficult family situation or employment or school problems, people are watching you to see how you will respond. The Apostle Paul knew this full well because he had Roman soldiers watching him 24/7. And they heard every word he said. And I can imagine that if he said something wrong, that word would have spread among his guards quickly. Or if he would have said, you know, God loves you and Jesus wants to save you from your sins. And yet, all of a sudden, one of the soldiers made the wrong move and it twisted his arm because of the chains and he felt pain and he let out something that he shouldn't. If they wouldn't say, well, see, you're no different from the rest. There's something about our circumstances that becomes a means for sharing either good news or the fact that we're only human. Can God even help us? What can we be confident about? The good news, when shared, will spread no matter what the circumstance. Paul had learned to rejoice in his bad circumstances, his situation in life. He had some great reasons to go south in his attitude, to take his eyes off the Lord. He had some great reasons for that. Well, here's what the believer can expect, what you can expect according to the Word of God in your life. This may not sound like good news. Now listen, the Bible says that we can expect, if you're a Christian, persecution. Just so happens we live in a country where there's not a whole lot of persecution yet. The potential is there. But all over the world, Christians are facing persecution. The Bible says in John 15, verse 20, the words of our Lord, "If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Christians should expect persecution. Here's another one. You can expect tribulation. That's a big, fancy 25-cent word. It means some really tough times coming your way. Jesus also said in the next chapter of John, chapter 16, verse 33, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." We can expect some very hard times, that life won't always be a piece of cake that we simply enjoy all the time, that we can expect some difficult circumstances in our life and as a church. Oh, here's one from James, where James writes, "Count it or consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." Not if, when. You will experience trials as a Christian. We know that. We know that there will be times when our circumstances will not be what we really want. But yet we find themselves, and it's just a part of life, we find ourselves in the middle of them. As I read this passage, I'm reminded of what can rob me of my joy when those times come my way, and what can rob you of your joy. Should I say such things as complaining? When you're hit with those tough times, if your tendency is to complain about your situation, that can rob you of your joy. How about a lack of thanksgiving? We're going to read later in Philippians, "In everything give thanks." In everything give thanks. In the middle of, while you're going through whatever it is, give thanks. This is God's will for you, the Bible says. If we don't have thankful hearts because we know God is in control, if we choose to rather dwell upon ourselves rather than fix our eyes on Jesus, what happens? We lose joy. It's a joy thief. It robs us if we take that attitude. How about bitterness? If you choose to become bitter. Bitterness, the Bible said, is actually a tool of Satan. It's a way for Satan to get a foothold in our lives and to create all kinds of problems and to rob our joy. For joy in the Lord. How about envy? Being envious of somebody else because they are more blessed than you are. Listen, in God's eyes, we're all equally blessed by God. We just have different circumstances. We are blessed by God beyond all people. We're blessed in the heavenly places with every spiritual blessing, the Bible says. And that is the believer in Christ. Listen, God is able to take your down and turn it into an up. He's able to take what you're going through and change it into something that brings honor and glory to Him. He's able to take what looks like a retreat to you and turn it into His advance. And that's what's being told us here in the Bible. That there's a situations in life that God can use to advance His good news for you and for others around you. That word "advance" that's used here in the Scripture in verses 12 through 14, really behind it has the meaning of advancing over obstacles, of overcoming with the help of God those things that come your way that would seem like a big wall or a barrier or a locked door that you have a hard time going through. God can use those to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's related to a word that was used in Paul's day that his guards would understand because it was a military term. It's a term, that term "advance," that's used here in this section of Scripture. What has happened to me, i.e. the chains, the imprisonment, the persecution, the trials, has really served to advance the gospel. You see, that term was used for the military, of soldiers going ahead and knocking down trees, of making a pathway so that they could march ahead and move forward, of removing obstacles in their way. It's fascinating the language Paul uses, because he knew who was listening to him and watching him. And so he took a term from their vocabulary to describe God's work in his life. Let's learn from that. Because of bad circumstances, the gospel can and will advance over the obstacles and the closed doors and whatever it is. But what is this gospel that we're talking about? I've thrown that word around a lot. The Bible talks about it. Gospel simply means good news. We live in a day in which we need good news. So what is that good news? I want us to take a moment now to watch a 3-minute video by Pastor John Piper of Bethlehem Baptist, where he explains the gospel. And granted, it may be a little heavy to some of you, but I think you will learn something as you watch this. So let's just listen for a moment to another preacher who wants to share with us what the good news really is. It may surprise you.
Here are the 6 things that I think are essential. The gospel is a plan from eternity. And I say that because when Paul articulated the gospel, he said, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, which means something before signified this is a plan. God set it up before it happened. That's number one. Number two is the gospel is an event in history. Christ died. Number three, the gospel is an achievement in and through that event of something that happened between the Son and the Father. Namely, sins were paid for and righteousness was completed. This was an obedience unto death, and therefore a perfect obedience was achieved and a perfect guilt offering was paid. So that's number three, an achievement. Number four is that is extended in an offer to the world that is free. If the offer were not free, there would be no gospel. If it were by works instead of by faith, there would be no gospel. So there's a plan, there's an event, there is an achievement in that event, and then there's the free offer to faith alone, and then comes what we call application of the achievement. To me, they're not the same. God did something in history for me before I have any taste of it, but now by faith I am forgiven, and now by faith I am justified, and that's an essential part of the gospel. If those things don't happen to me, there's no good news at all. So there's the application of the achievement. That's where we usually stop. This is my concern, my own personal concern about the fullness, and I think the Gospel Coalition gets this, understands this. If we stop at forgiveness, just take forgiveness. If we stop at forgiveness and say to the world, we have good news for you. God made a plan. God sent His Son. Christ died. Your forgiveness was achieved. It's offered freely. Take it by faith. Yes, you have it. And we stop, which we often do. Something's missing, because I want to say, so what, forgiven? And a lot of people might answer, well, I don't like a guilty conscience, or I don't like going to hell, or my family might be better if I could live as a forgiven person instead of a guilty person. Instead of saying, 1 Peter 3:18, Christ suffered once the righteous for the unrighteous to bring us to God. The 6th piece of the gospel that I think is absolutely essential is that we're forgiven and we're justified to bring us to God. God is our treasure. God is the end. My forgiveness is not the end. My justification is not the end. My going to heaven and not having a sick body anymore is not the end. All of that is means. Means to what? Seeing Him, knowing Him, loving Him, being satisfied in Him, and Him being more glorified in me because I'm now eternally satisfied in Him.
There's so much in this what we call the good news of Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. The third day He rose again from the dead, according to Scriptures, to give us new life. There's so much involved in that. The Apostle Paul, no matter what his experience, intended that that message be a virus that spreads even to those soldiers who are guarding him. Even to the people around him first, and then beyond. Now, it's important we understand that. Look at verse 13. Because in spite of the circumstances, when it is shared, the gospel spreads to those who are not yet believers. When it is shared, in spite of circumstances, it spreads like a virus. Paul says, it's become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Christ is in this. He's in Paul's life, but he's in that circumstance to bring about his honor and glory. Whatever you go through, trust that God is in that. He is Lord over that. And He's going to use that. Oh yes, some of those bring tears to God's eyes. But He understands and He loves you with a love that is deep, and we don't fully understand it. But what we do know is that God is in it. And God will see you through it. Because He has a bigger plan. And part of that plan is the sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ. That whole imperial guard that's mentioned here, that's in reference to 10,000 soldiers in those days. Now, to qualify, you had to be an experienced soldier. You had to be of Italian descent, true a Roman. And you had to meet the test of becoming a palace guard or guard that protected the emperor of those days and the commanding generals. And they had special assignments that were given to them. One of them was to guard and make sure that this strange preacher known as the Apostle Paul wouldn't escape and he wouldn't be allowed to share the good news. But you know what? He did it anyway. He shared with them. And what happened? It spread like a virus so that the whole guard, 10,000 of them, heard about what he believed, yes, but what he lived as a follower of Jesus Christ. And it became attractive, and I imagine many of them will meet in heaven because they heard the good news and they responded to it. The gospel is like that. Maybe you've heard the story of the book Pilgrim's Progress, or you know that story. It's a fascinating parallel to becoming a Christian and having your burdens removed. And if you've never read it, I encourage you to get a modern translation and read that. But John Bunyan was the author of it, and he wrote it in the 1700s in Bedford, England. It just so happens that Mr. Bunyan at the time was a preacher, and he insisted on sharing this good news that we call the gospel in every way he could. And the government at the time didn't like that, so they put him in prison. And every day, John Bunyan would go out in the courtyard of the prison and he would preach the gospel. And prisoners gathered, but not only that, townspeople from that little town of Bedford, England, would gather outside the prison to hear him. And the gospel began to spread in spite of his imprisonment. And finally, they had had enough of that. They said, this can't happen. What's he in here for the first place for? And so they put him in the inside of the jail so that he couldn't be heard outside the walls and share it with other prisoners. It was there that he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. And because of that, God used that for the longest time. Pilgrim's Progress was the most published book outside of the Bible. And God has used that to show many people the love of Jesus and the good news of Christ. You see, the gospel can spread like a virus no matter what circumstance you're in. In fact, in spite of the circumstances, when it is shared, the gospel becomes viral to those who are believers. Not just those yet to become Christians, but to Christians, to encourage all of us. And most of the brothers, he says in verse 14, In other words, talking about the church here. Having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, or much more bold to speak the word of God without fear. What was bad situation for him turned into a good situation for the church, because the people in the church knew that Paul was going through hard times, and yet he continued to share the gospel because it was about Jesus and not about him. I'm reminded of how hard it is, though, and how quickly we lose confidence in ourselves, and how quiet we become when we're around others, particularly when we're going through difficult times. It reminds me of a woman who, with her husband, was on a vacation and had to go to a dentist. The wife was in a hurry, and she said to the dentist, "I want a tooth pulled, and I don't want Novocaine because I'm in too big a hurry. Just extract the tooth as quickly as possible. We'll be on our way." The dentist was very impressed and said, "You're certainly a courageous woman. Which tooth is it?" The woman turned to her husband and said, "Show him your tooth, dear." It's easy to expect others to be courageous, but not us. The Apostle Paul wants us to be courageous in opening our mouths and praying for opportunities to share the good news of Jesus with other people. That's the job of we who are called followers of Christ, who are called Christians. And we need that sense of boldness, because I'm like that woman so often. I'd rather volunteer somebody else to go do it. We talked yesterday in our leadership retreat a bit about the importance of not putting too much weight upon the pastor. That when you call a new pastor, now he's here, so he can share the good news. Let's just bring our friends to church. They can hear it from the pastor. We can go home. We can feel good about it. No. The pastor's job is to equip you to share your faith with others. Yes, to share the gospel as he comes in contact with people, but you're not to point the finger at him and say it's his job. You're to look at yourself and say, God can use me no matter what I'm going through, because God is in this. The second thing that will happen when we share willingly the gospel of Christ is found in verses 15 through 17, where it says, "Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment." I put it this way: the good news, when shared, will spread no matter who is the messenger. This is a hard lesson to learn sometimes, because we look at some people who are sharing the gospel, but they don't quite believe what we believe on the other issues of the faith. And we wonder how in the world God could ever use them. We see some preachers on television that we know are in it for money, or for fame or glory. And we wonder how God could ever use them to introduce other people to Jesus and to help them come to know Him as their Lord and Savior. The Apostle Paul teaches us very clearly here that no matter who the messenger is, the important thing is the Word of God goes out. God will deal with each one as He will, but He wants the good news shared. This is good news. That Christ died for your sins, that He wants you to be forgiven, and He wants to give you a new life and to bring honor and glory to Him forever. That's God's plan that we heard about. The gospel is powerful. So no matter what the motive of the one who shares it, it will do its work. And that's the beauty of it. You know, the Bible talks about three kinds of messages that were found in the church. And they still are today. There's false teaching. That comes from a different Bible or a false view of Jesus Christ. The issue is always, who is Christ? And what do you believe about the Bible that we know? And there are false teachings out there. There are false teachers out there. The Bible talks about them. The Bible also talks about another gospel. And very clearly the Bible implies that that's salvation by grace through faith plus something. That's a false gospel. You don't have to add anything to the grace of God. God has done all the work in salvation. Your job is to respond by faith. You don't have to get your life act together to be saved. God will do that work in you once you allow Him to and seek His forgiveness and His coming into your life to take control of your life. The gospel plus is dangerous. It's salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone. There's also the gospel of Christ. And that's what Paul is proclaiming. That's what we need to proclaim. Look with me at verses 16 through 17. You see, the Bible in Philippians 1 talks about two kinds of preachers, and they're known by their motives. The emphasis of motives comes out here. And I want you to understand that. I want myself to understand that. That God is concerned about our motives. Whenever we go through the tough times, whenever we share what we want to share with people, what motivates us. You see, there are those who are motivated to share the gospel by envy and strife. The intent is to bring division in the church, division among God's people. And that's their main motive. And there are people like that today. We need to be careful we're never like that with God's help. There are those who are motivated to share the good news by love, the love of Christ. And that should always be our motive. The Bible talks about that, that some share it out of love, verse 16. Knowing full well that Paul, for instance, was put in chains for the defense of the gospel. Knowing that, what is their motive for sharing with others? That Jesus loved them enough that He wants them to show His love to others. And it's through Paul's situation that they become encouraged to do that. You can encourage others through what you're walking through. If you're willing to share what Christ is doing in the middle of what you're going through. If you're willing to see Jesus in that. How do you defend the gospel? The Bible says that Paul is put there for the defense of the gospel. Does it need any defense? Well, that's a word. We get our word apologetics from it, or the need to defend the faith, or come up with reasoned arguments for why Christ died for us and what He did. You can view it that way. But I want you to understand that basically Paul was defending the gospel by showing it that it's real in his life. And you can do the same. We underestimate the power of God in salvation. We underestimate what God can do. Paul writes in the book of Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is what? The power of God unto salvation. And we need to understand that the gospel, the good news, is powerful. It will change people. It will transform them. It will change communities. It'll change nations as long as we share it and allow God to do His work. God always honors His word. And the word, when shared, will always bear the fruit that God intends. The wonderful book of Isaiah speaks of it as if it's predictable. That God's word, when it's shared, will always produce fruit. It'll never return back empty to us. We're not speaking empty words when we say God loves you. And He wants you to live a joyful life in His presence forever. He wants to give you the kind of life that only He can give. That word will never return void when you share it. It becomes viral to those who hear it. So make sure that love is a driving motive whenever you share your experience with Christ. Whenever you share the good news of Jesus, make sure that it's about loving other people, even those who seem to be unlovable. This whole scripture passage helps us understand something here. By the way, when it says in verse 17, the former proclaimed Christ out of rivalry, that word rivalry is interesting. It's a political term in those days. It means a politician who would do anything to get elected. who would climb over the backs of people, who would take bribes, who would say one thing but then do another thing. This refers to a style of ministry that we are to avoid at all costs. We need to be transparent believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, who can have our lives under the microscope every day if we want this gospel to go forth in boldness. I'm reminded of somebody I've been following and praying for a bit, need to pray more for. Maybe you've heard of Pastor Yusuf Nadarkhani. Pastor Yusuf is an Iranian, and he's been imprisoned. It's interesting as you discover that we would expect persecution. Here is a brother in Christ who's a pastor of an evangelical church in Iran who was arrested for sharing his faith. And they had to accuse him of something. They wanted to kill him, and they still do. In fact, he could be in the presence of God right now. I don't know. But they charged him initially with, you know, teaching not in line with their laws, which is Islamic law. And that wasn't enough, so they said, no, we need a crime that is punishable by death. We want to take his life and silence him. And so they accused him of rape. And in that country, that's a capital offense, punishable by death. Well, that wasn't working so well, so they came up with another accusation against him. And another one that deserving of capital punishment there. They keep trying to do what they can, and yet it's becoming known around the world that this brother in Christ is unjustly accused and imprisoned for sharing the good news. Somebody you need to pray for, Pastor Yusuf in Iran. But he knows that the gospel must be shared, and it will become viral, even among Christians and among Muslims in Iran. It will have its effect. And we need to understand that here as well. One other thing, we find that in verse 18. Paul says, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice." Here comes joy once again. Paul, joyful in his difficult circumstances, in his trials, in his persecution. Here's the way I put it. The good news, when shared, will spread whenever Christ is proclaimed. Whenever Christ is proclaimed. Christ is proclaimed. He is shared with others. It's all about Jesus. It's not about Paul. If you were one of those Roman soldiers, you would have heard every day that you were with him about the love of Jesus and the grace of God in Christ, and how God can forgive your sins when you put your faith and trust in Him. Christ is proclaimed. And when He is, then you can have joy in serving Jesus. You know, serving Jesus oftentimes is not a joyful adventure. I know, especially as a pastor, you get in some difficult situations with people who don't like what you're doing or have difficulties or disagreements with you, and it becomes just seemingly hard work. But if we can keep our eyes on Jesus, He brings the joy into our life. And He will do that, just as He did Paul. "And in that I rejoice." He's rejoicing not over his circumstances, but over what is happening as a result of what he's going through when he shares Jesus. So what's the big idea as we look at this passage this morning? I put it this way: rejoice because the good news of salvation through Christ will keep spreading no matter what. So share it. So share it. You know, I never want to assume that everybody in a church on Sunday morning has a personal grasp of this gospel. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's actually very simple. Acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner, that you're really in rebellion against God and His plan for you, His design for your life, and you're choosing to walk a different direction. Turn away from that. The Bible calls that repentance, and receive Jesus' forgiveness. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. and then to make you to be the man or woman of God that He wants you to be. The gospel's that simple. And it begins with a journey of following Him. That's you this morning. I encourage you, before you leave today, in fact, right now, to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let me close this with a prayer, and if that's you, please pray with me, and we'll pray with you. Father, thank You that the gospel is so simple that a four-year-old can understand enough to receive Jesus. It's like this: Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Help me to turn from my sins and come into my life. Make me to be who You want me to be forever. Lord, maybe there's somebody here who needs to pray that prayer right now. We never know when our life here will end. So God, work. Show the power of the gospel in overcoming sin, of bringing forgiveness and joy in a relationship with Jesus. And for those of us who do know Jesus, God, may we be encouraged. May we be more bold. Not like the woman at the dentist's office pointing a finger at her husband, but pointing a finger at ourselves and saying, you know, there's times when I really need to pray that God would give me opportunities just simply to share the love of Jesus as best as I can. That's all that You ask, Lord. To share something as simple as John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that I might believe in Him, and that I might not perish, but have eternal life. It's that simple, God. So help us. Encourage us today. Show us that the virus of the gospel is spreading like crazy, and we want to be part of that. As a church, as individuals in Christ, use us, Lord. Now let's stand as we continue our prayer in closing. And God, as we pray, we ask Your blessing on it as we go. Lord, no matter what we face, we want to encourage each other as best as we can. We want to come alongside of each other and help with that courage that comes from Christ, from knowing Christ and loving Christ. So God, send us forth today with Your blessing. Send us forth with joy in our hearts because Jesus is at work. And Jesus is on His throne of our lives, of this church. And He wants to rule and reign over Whidbey Island. He wants to be the Lord and Savior of all people. So help us to go with boldness and to be open to sharing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.